Today's reading comes from Judges 16, verses 4 to 31. Samson and Delilah. After this, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in a valley of Sorek. The five Philistine kings went to her and said, "Trick Samson into telling you why he is so strong and how we can now overpower him and tie him up and make him helpless. Each one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me what makes you so strong. If someone wanted to tie you up and make you helpless, how could you do it?" Samson answered, "If they tie me up with 7 bowstrings that are not dried out, I'll be as weak as anybody else." So the Philistine kings brought to Delilah 7 new bowstrings that were not dried out, and she tied Samson up. She had some men waiting in another room, so she shouted, "Samson, the Philistines are coming!" But he snapped the bowstrings just as threads break when fire touches it. So they did not know the secret of his strength. Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you've been making a fool of me and not telling me the truth. Please tell me how someone could tie you up." He answered, "If they tie me with new ropes that have never been used, I'll be as weak as anybody else."
So Delilah got some new ropes and tied him up. Then she shouted, "Samson, the Philistines are coming." The men were waiting in the other room, but he snapped the ropes off his arms like thread. Delilah said to Samson, "You're still making a fool of me and not telling me the truth. Tell me how someone could tie you up." He answered, "If you weave my 7 locks of hair into a loom and make it tight with a peg, I'll be as weak as anybody else." Delilah then lulled him to sleep, took his 7 locks of hair and wove them into the loom.
So she said to him, "How can you say you love me when you don't mean it? You've made a fool of me 3 times and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong." She kept on asking him day after day. He got so sick and tired of nagging him about it that he finally told her the truth. "My hair has never been cut," he said. "I have been dedicated to God as a Nazarite." When Delilah realized that he had told her the truth, she sent a message to the Philistine kings and said, "Come back just once more. He had told me the truth." Then they came and brought the money with them. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep in her lap and then called a man who cut off Samson's 7 locks of hair. Then she began to torment him, for he had lost his strength. Then she shouted, "Samson, the Philistines are coming." He woke up and thought, "I'll get loose and go free as always." He did not know that the Lord had left him. The Philistines captured him and put his eyes out. They took him to Gaza, chained him with bronze chains, and put him to work grinding at the mill in the prison. But his hair started growing again.
The death of Samson. The Philistine kings met together to celebrate and offer a great sacrifice to their god Dagon. They sang, "Our God has given us victory over our enemy, Samson." They were enjoying themselves, so they said, "Call Samson and let's make him entertain us." When they brought Samson out of the prison, they made him entertain them and made him stand between the pillars. When the people saw him, they sang praise to their God, singing, "Our God has given us victory over our enemy who devastated our land and killed so many of us." Samson said to the boy who was leading him by the hand, "Let me touch the pillars that hold up the building. I want to lean on them." The building was crowded with men and women. All 5 Philistine kings were there, and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof watching Samson entertain them. Then Samson prayed, "Sovereign Lord, please remember me. Please, God, give me my strength just once more, so that with this one blow I can get even with the Philistines for putting out my 2 eyes." So Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars holding up the building. Putting one hand on each pillar, he pushed against them and shouted, "Let me die with the Philistines." He pushed with all his might, and the building fell down on the 5 kings and everyone else. Samson killed more people at his death than he had killed during his life. His brothers and the rest of his family came down to get his body. They took him back and buried him in between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had been Israel's leader for 20 years. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's start by praying together. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us by your Spirit this morning, that you'd speak to us the words that you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, folks, well, we're thinking about Samson, a great biblical hero, this morning. So I thought we'd start by thinking about heroes in general. Now, this is for the younger children who are still here, or any of the grown-ups who like drawing. My task for you, if you don't want to listen to the sermon, is to draw me a picture of your hero. So we've got plain paper down here. There are lots of pens. So anyone who wants to, come and grab them. I want to know who your heroes are. And I've got a microphone here somewhere. I thought I'd ask you this question as well. So anyone who wants to tell me, who is your hero? You can say something very spiritual, or you can tell me about someone who was your hero when you were a child. No? No? You're very shy this morning. There's some ideas on the screen for you. Maybe your hero is Winston Churchill. Anyone? Yeah, a few? Or Albus Dumbledore from Harry Potter? I think he's very cool. Elvis Presley? Any music fans here? Yeah, Joyce, yeah, you know what I mean. And by the way, this is Edward Cullen in the bottom left-hand side of the screen. Teenagers, I'm expecting that you know who he is. Probably the rest of you don't have a clue. Okay. Who's the lady? Good question. I thought it'd be good to have at least one woman on there. But I'm not sure. Can anyone recognise her? I don't actually have a prize to give to anyone who does, but I'll be very impressed if you know who it is. It's not Emily Pankhurst. I did think about putting her on there, though, Joyce. You know me so well. Mark?
Mary Curie.
It is Mary Curie. Give them a clap. Well done. Very impressive. Okay. I thought I'd tell you about my hero, who was one of the ones on the screen. My hero when I was growing up was Martin Luther King. He was an American Baptist minister, actually. Interesting. The leader of the civil rights movement in America in the 1950s and 60s. And so some of you will know all about that, some of you won't. So for the benefit of those of you that haven't, don't know so much about him, I'll just explain briefly that at that time, in the southern states of America, black people were very much discriminated against. They had to go to different schools from white people. They had to use different drinking fountains, go to different cafes and restaurants. You'd see signs all over the southern states saying whites only. And so it was a terrible time in the history of the United States. And Martin Luther King was a great inspirational leader. In 1963, he gave one of the most famous speeches that anyone has ever made, his I Have a Dream speech, which you can see on YouTube if you're interested. And it's a wonderful speech, and one of the things he says is this: I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character. He was a very inspirational leader, pushing for change, but he constantly urged people not to descend into violence. He said violence doesn't solve anything. And he urged people to try and push for change through civil disobedience. In other words, they wouldn't obey unjust laws. So they'd get a group of people together, some black and some white, and they'd go and sit in a whites-only cafe, and they'd just sit there together, and people would throw things at them, and people would shout at them, but they wouldn't move. And so it was non-violent protest. In 1964, he became the youngest person ever to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. But he had many enemies. He received many death threats and bomb threats throughout his life. And finally, when he was 39 years old, he was assassinated, shot dead as he stood on a hotel balcony. Following his death, the President of the United States declared a national day of mourning. He was a leader who brought hope, courage, inspiration to millions of people, both black and white. But biographers have revealed that his life was not blameless. He wasn't perfect. He had skeletons in his closet. Various biographers have described his weakness for women. In fact, one biographer alleges that he had numerous affairs, which caused him painful and overwhelming guilt. He was far from perfect. There were dark areas in his life. I already mentioned that he was my hero as a teenager, and I had a picture of him on my wall. And later on, I found out about these allegations about his private life, and I was absolutely devastated. I was devastated. Because to me, he was this wonderful, he was my hero, and when I found this out about his private life, it was as if my hero had fallen. And I took the postcard off the wall. Samson was also a hero with a weakness for women. He's been described by commentators, I should add, in books of commentary on the Bible. People describe him as a womanising adventurer, or even, less flatteringly, an oversexed buffoon. It's quite a description for a biblical hero. He was the last of Israel's 12 judges, or leaders of Israel, in other words. So in the book of Judges, there are 12 leaders whose lives are described, and Samson was the last one, and many people in the ancient world thought he was the worst one. He was described as the least worthy of the judges. His birth was quite promising. His birth was foretold by an angel who visited his mother and told him that she would give birth to this boy who would be a Nazarite, specially dedicated to God. I'll say more on that later. So he would be specially dedicated to God, a leader for Israel who would begin to set them free from their enemies, the Philistines. His parents were very devout and they worshipped the Lord. But his life didn't really seem to show fulfilment of this promising beginning. Because Samson, like Martin Luther King, was a flawed hero. The story of Samson and Delilah can be found in chapters 13 to 16 of Judges. And it's an eventful story. And every time something happens in the story of Samson's life, every time the narrative moves on, it's because he fancies a woman. Every time. In fact, in some verses going to come up on the screen now, just in Judges, the first four verses of Judges 16, you can see the pattern. So Judges 16, verse 1. One day, Samson went to the Philistine city of Gaza, where he met a prostitute and went to bed with her. Verse 4. After this, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah. So he liked the ladies, and this was a theme of his life. He would be attracted to a woman. It would cause conflict with the Philistines. He'd get in a fight with the Philistines, and then he'd wreak his revenge on them. He doesn't seem to be motivated by a desire to serve God. That doesn't seem to be what drives him. He seems to be driven more by his desire to get the girl or to get revenge. The story of his dealings with Delilah is probably the famous part of his life. And again, this follows the same pattern. He wants Delilah. He gets her. Despite the fact that she wasn't very suitable, she was probably a Philistine. And the Israelites were not supposed to intermarry with a Philistine, so she wasn't really suitable to be with him. But he wants her, he gets her. The Philistines then use her to get to him. So you heard that in the part that the Lee family read to us. The Philistines bribe Delilah to get to Samson. She finds out the secret of his strength, and she cuts off his hair. Now, this was important because he was a Nazarite. He was specially dedicated to God. And this was something that any of the Israelites could do. They could decide to become a Nazarite, and it meant that they had to take three vows. They weren't meant to touch a dead body. They weren't meant to drink wine or to have any, eat grapes or have anything that came from the vine. And they weren't meant to cut their hair. And Samson breaks all three of these vows throughout the course of his life. There are indications that his wedding feast is a drinking feast. There are a couple of places in his life where he touches dead animals, which was forbidden as well. And finally, he allows his hair to be cut off. He's broken all three of his vows. And as the Lees read to us, it says, the Lord left him. He didn't realise, but when his hair was cut, the Lord left him. He's a flawed hero. And all human heroes are flawed. Because all human beings are flawed, aren't they? The Bible puts it like this: everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. This is one of the most fundamental Christian beliefs. If we were capable of living without sinning, if we were capable of living flawless lives, then Jesus would not have had to die. Samson has a very promising beginning. He has very devout parents. His death is foretold by an angel. He's a Nazarite specially dedicated to God. And even he falls short of the glory of God. Even if we get the best start in life, even if we bring our children up, taking them to Sunday school every week and teach them about the Bible and do everything right, we still get it wrong. We still let each other down. It's one of the few certainties in life. Sounds a bit depressing, but I think it's true. People let you down. One of the few things in life that are certain. When we're little, our parents are heroes, aren't they? When we're little, we think our parents can do no wrong. And then sooner or later, we realise that, just like us, they're not perfect. Anyone who we try to turn into a hero can never possibly live up to the image. Sometimes we try to be heroes ourselves. We figure, well, if other people let us down, if no one else is going to save us, then we better save ourselves. We'd better become heroes. And so we become perfectionist. We try very hard never to make a mistake. We may develop a hero complex. I can make so much money that I and my family will have total security. I can look after others. I can nurture them. I don't need anything. I just live for them. I am strong. I can cope. Others are weak. Not me. But we will fail, because we are human. So Samson's a flawed hero, like all human beings. He's flawed. And yet, God works through flawed people. Despite all the suspicions surrounding Martin Luther King's private life, he left an amazing legacy. God worked through him in an incredibly powerful way. Not only did he give one of the most famous speeches in history, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. He has a day dedicated to him. The third Sunday in January in the US is Martin Luther King Day. He has a statue in Westminster Abbey among the statues of 20th century martyrs. He made an amazing contribution to the civil rights movement, despite the fact that he was a flawed human being. He was far from perfect. And God worked through Samson too in amazing ways. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and makes him incredibly strong. When he's a young man, he kills a lion with his bare hands. Now that's pretty impressive. With his bare hands, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, made him strong, ripped the lion apart. Later on, the Philistines are running towards him, shouting at him. And the Bible says, suddenly the power of the Lord made him strong, and he broke the ropes around his arms and hands as if they were burnt thread. He then picks up the jawbone of a donkey, incidentally from a fresh dead body, so he wasn't meant to do that. But anyway, he picks up the jawbone of a donkey and he kills 1,000 people with this jawbone. Quite gruesome, but do you see that God gave him immense power? God worked through him in a very, very strongly, mightily, in order to begin to defeat the Philistines and break their hold over the Israelites. And at the very end of his life, he's blind, he's weak, he's lost his power, but he prays to the Lord to give him strength one last time. He pushes aside the columns, the temple collapses, and he kills himself along with 3,000 Philistines. God gives him supernatural strength. He works through Samson very powerfully. Despite the fact that he's flawed, despite the fact that he's unfaithful, that he breaks his vows, and yet God works through him. And the key is the source of Samson's strength. So I've got a few heroes up on the screen, and I want you to tell me what the source of their strength is. And this time, I'm going to stand here with my microphone until you help me out. So we've got Popeye, we've got He-Man, Banana Man, and Asterix. Come on, folks. What is the source of their strength? Banana Man's the easy one. Who wants to start? Bananas is the source of Banana Man's strength. When he eats a banana, he becomes Banana Man. Right, what about Popeye? That's another easy one. Spinach. When he eats spinach, their muscles pop out and he bashes up the bad guys. Hey-Man, that's a bit more tricky. Thank you, Paul. Well done. The sword of power. I have the power. And then he becomes He-Man. So it's the sword that's the secret of his strength. How about Asterix? The magic potion. You see, you do know. You just need to warm up a bit. Absolutely. So a lot of heroes, in their stories, there's a secret to their strength. There's something which makes them strong. The secret of Samson's strength is not his hair, actually. The secret of his strength is God. God gives him his power. That's where Samson's power comes from. And that is how God is able to use him, even though he is flawed, even though he's an oversexed buffoon, even though he doesn't really seem to think that much about God. He's more driven by his desire for revenge, his desire for women. Despite all that, God gives him his power. The power that Samson has belongs to God. Judges 14, verse 6. The power of the Lord made Samson strong. The Bible makes it very clear. Samson wasn't born with supernatural strength. God gave him that strength. It's God's spirit who enables us to serve him too. God gives us his strength. God gives us his spirit. He might not give us supernatural physical strength. We might not be able to chuck chairs around and kill people with jawbones, but that's probably a good thing. But nevertheless, he gives us the power to serve him. God can do anything he wants through anyone he chooses, through his Holy Spirit, because it's his spirit which provides the power. And for that reason, being weak and being sinful and being flawed, as we all are, does not disqualify us from serving God. At the end of his life, despite the fact that he's messed up, he's allowed Delilah to trick him, he's cut his hair off, or his hair's been cut off, he's broken all three of his vows, despite all of that, at the end of his life, Samson prays to God one last time. God gives him supernatural strength one last time. He pushes aside the columns. The temple comes crashing down. And the Bible tells us that he killed more people with his death than in the entire rest of his life. He achieved more with his death than he did in the rest of his life, because God gave him the power to do so. And the death of Samson foreshadows the death of Christ. That Jesus Christ was and is a perfect hero, a flawless hero. In him there is no sin. He was entirely dedicated to God. He only did what he saw his Father doing. And he achieved even more with his death than he had with his life. But rather than killing thousands of people, instead he brought life to countless millions of people through his death. I've kind of lost my hero. I still admire Martin Luther King, but I kind of feel like I can't really idolise him anymore because of all that I know about him. But Jesus is my hero because Jesus is perfect. Jesus is flawless. And he gives us his power. And so even though we are weak, we're sinful, we get things wrong, because we have Jesus, we have his spirit. He gives us his spirit and he can work through us despite everything, despite our failures, despite our weaknesses. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the story of Samson and Delilah. We thank you that that shows us that the power belongs to you. We thank you for this story which shows us that you can use us even though we're weak, even though we get things wrong. I pray, Lord, that you send your spirit upon us to help us to live for you, help us to be more like Jesus, and to help to pick us up when we get things wrong. In Jesus' name, amen.